And now, the man with the plan, the host with the most, the rebel with a cause, the only commentator in the history of cyber radio to actually kill a liberal just by sneering at him. Gator Doug. There's a place up ahead
and I'm going. Hello again, everybody. This is Doug Hagen bringing you, if you're left, you just ain't right. And there's something I've been thinking about talking about, and I'm going to do it tonight, first Monday night show. It's principles. I don't think we really focus enough on what principles really are. There's a lot of talk about the founding principles. There's a lot of talk about standing on principle. But people, I don't think on either side of the ideological divide in this country, I don't think they really think enough about principles and understand principles. I'm going to start off by saying something that will surprise some people. And you may want to get mad at me for saying it, but wait for the explanation. Barack Obama, as president, is a man of principles. Now, I can hear your ears perking up. I can actually hear your ears stretching because you want to hear more. What in the hell is wrong with this guy saying that Barack Obama is a principled man? Now, folks, I didn't say he had the correct principles. I didn't say his principles were moral. I didn't say they were intellectually sound. I didn't say they were noble. I didn't say they were good. I didn't say they were justified. I didn't say that they made any sense at all, because frankly, we know his principles. They are Marxist in nature. Conservatives like Michael Medved don't want us to dare use the socialist or Marxist or communist word when speaking about President Obama, or Nancy Pelosi, or Harry Reid, or some of the other far-left nutcases like Henry Waxman, for instance. But I use them because they're appropriate. They fit. His principles are decidedly left of center, and I think they're far enough on the leftist scale that we can safely say they're far closer to the writings and idiotic ramblings of Karl Marx than they are anything that Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or Benjamin Franklin would have written or said. But Barack Obama is a man of principles. Compare him, for instance, to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was left of center, just like Barack Obama, and I think Obama's a lot further to the left than Bill Clinton ever was. But Bill Clinton was more of a politician. He was more pragmatic. Bill Clinton cared about things that weren't principles, weren't based on principles. Bill Clinton, on principle, very early in his presidency, tried to have a national health care bill. We know how that worked out. Bill Clinton saw the writing on the wall. He saw the writing in the polls. He saw the writing in public opinion. And Bill Clinton said, I ain't touching that. I want to have a great legacy. I want you to love me and call me a great president. I want to get with fat interns in the Oval Office. I want to be reelected. So Bill Clinton put his principles in the back seat, threw them under the bus, threw them out with a baby in the bathwater, fed them to the dogs, threw them out the back door, whatever you want to say. His principles were gone for political expediency, political success. Bill Clinton even went as far to sell his other liberal policies and ideals and principles down the road when the Republicans took the House and Senate in 1994. He saw the writing on the wall. He saw ideas Republicans had, conservative ideals and principles that they were pushing, and he said, wow, I like this. I'll hijack those ideas. I'll say they're mine, and people love me, and they'll reelect me. And he did. He did a wonderful job, wonderfully effective job, of hijacking and cherry-picking those positions, like welfare reform, for instance, claiming them as his own, and they passed, and he was known as an effective president by many people. He's still much beloved by many people. I don't think he was a good president. I certainly don't agree with his principles. Many, 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 many things he did wrong. But this isn't to praise or tear down Bill Clinton. This is about principles. Bill Clinton had principles, but they didn't mean as much to him as Barack Obama's does. Look at Obama. Obama, too, wanted a health care bill very early in his presidency, didn't he? He saw even harsher poll numbers. He saw more dramatic opposition. He saw the rise of the Tea Party movement. He saw massive protests. He looked at every poll you can name and saw the writing on the wall that said, the American people are sending you a message, hell no. It didn't stop him. He put his principles, as ill-guided as they are, above political success. He put it above winning a second term as president, which he probably won't do. I'm not going to make a prediction before 2012, obviously. Things change rapidly in politics sometimes. But he is a man willing to get his principles through and see his personal reputation take a hit. Now again, his principles to me are Marxist. They're bad for America, they're immoral, and they border on evil. I'm going to lay it out for you. But we're just talking about principles here. I'll take you back in history. When I was 9 years old, I heard some family members talking about the war between the states. And I was fascinated with the concept of the South fighting the North. And about a week later, my dad went to the library in sparkling downtown Plant City, Florida. And went to the Plant City Library there in Central Florida. Got me a couple books on the war between the states. And I absolutely fell in love with that topic. And here I am, 35 years later, still studying it. I'm doing research right now to do a historical presentation to the chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans I belong to in Waxahachie, Texas, on Jefferson Davis and Abraham Lincoln, contrasting the two men. And here were two men that were very principled. Abraham Lincoln, one of the books I'm reading right now, written in about 1937, I think, copyrighted in 1937 anyway, sums up Davis and Lincoln very effectively, in very concise fashion. And it said of Lincoln that he was willing to destroy parts or all of the Constitution in order to save the Union. Of Davis, he said that he was willing to destroy the Union, to save the Constitution. That's very appropriate, very true. There's no doubt. I was reading one of my favorite blogs the other day. They said something, Lincoln, that I've heard a lot of times from conservatives, and it's always kind of bothered me. And basically it said that, to sum it up, to paraphrase, Lincoln did a lot of the wrong things, but for the right reasons. And I've heard other people say of Jefferson Davis that he did for the right reasons, but wrong things. Now, generally, this argument, it goes on the assumption that of two things. A, that Lincoln was justified to do anything he could to save the Union, and that he was ultimately trying to end slavery. On the flip side, Davis was wrong, even though his constitutional stand may have been right, because he was defending slavery and trying to destroy the Union. Those are faults. I'll explain those some other time. I'll do some historical broadcasts and straighten out some of this stuff. But they were both men of principle. Everything was principle to them. Take Davis, for example. One of the charges against Davis and the Confederacy being all about slavery was that Davis wanted slavery perpetual. That's not true. Davis felt that his reading of the Constitution made it clear to him that a state once not a territory, but a state. He felt territories were subject to federal law, and a federal constitution allowed slavery, like it or not, at that time. Unfortunately, in our history, it did. But he felt that a state, once they had a constitution, once they were a state, they could outlaw the existence of slavery in that state. Everything Davis stood for was principled. Whether you agree or not, whether it was moral or not, he looked at the Constitution, said, this is constitutional, it should go, this is not, it shouldn't stand. Period. Whether he personally agreed with it or not. That's principles. When you're willing to put your success or your failure, issues like that, out of your mind and say, this is what has to be done, this is what the Constitution says, this is what I believe, whichever the cause, the stand you're taking, to do that and say, to hell with the results. This is right, and that is wrong. I'm going to stand with this that is right, and I'm going to risk bad things happening, not getting reelected, getting kicked out of office, losing my credibility, whatever it is. Principles. And I've said all that to say this. In this country today, the two top things we're missing in our political leadership, one is wisdom. I've said that many times. The founding fathers, I was talking to someone a while back, and I was talking about how brilliant the founding fathers were, and look at Franklin and Madison and Jefferson and Mason, and somebody said, well, look at how well educated our congressmen and senators are. They're lawyers, and they've been judges, and it's brilliant at Harvard and Yale, and yes, well-educated, but they do not possess, most of them, not all, but they do not possess the wisdom that our founding fathers possessed. Wisdom. And wisdom is a part of intelligence, but it's something different. Wisdom can be a very simple thing. Sometimes the wise person just sees things as they are and accepts as they are. And they don't try to make things into something else. They don't confuse idealism and realism, for instance. Our founders believed something very, very, very simple about our rights, our liberties, that are outlined in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. What's uttered in the Declaration of Independence, which is kind of a mission statement for the United States. The founders are very clear. Some rights are just your natural condition. There was no lengthy explanation needed. Why should you explain to someone, if you take someone outside and say, look up on a clear sunny day, you don't need to explain to them in 800 words or more why the sky is blue. The sky is blue. Those are white clouds. Those are trees. Those are leaves on the trees. You don't need to explain to these things. They're obvious. Sometimes the wisest of people are the people who just accept what is and don't try to add or detract anything from that. The second thing that our current political leadership, or the vast majority of it anyway, does not possess that our founders did is the courage to stand on principle. You know, Benjamin Franklin said of the men that were revolting against England, fighting to form a new country, he said something very profound. He said, we shall hang together or we shall surely hang separately. Now, you know what he meant. Unless they stuck together, they were all going to be executed by the crown. Very simple, very profound. But it said something about those men. It said that they were willing to die for what they believed in. They were willing to die. To them, death was preferable than living as a subject. Death was preferable to a loss of liberty. Being imprisoned was preferable. Fighting and risking imprisonment and execution was preferable to not doing anything, not taking a stand, and not fighting for liberty. It takes a lot of guts to do that. Look at the men who defended the Alamo here in Texas. If you've never been to San Antonio, Texas, if you ever go, the Alamo will surprise you because it's very small. And a lot of the actual battle area is city now, but it's a very moving place to stand. When you stand and think about those men deciding to stay, and even men sneaking into the Alamo, knowing that they would probably die. And at a certain point, knowing they would die, and staying and fighting anyway, to the last man. They had principles. Yes, they had great gallantry and courage, but they had, more than anything, principles. And principles was it for them. Nothing else mattered. These were men who said, damn it, I have principles. I will not surrender them. I will not back down from them. I will not take a backward step in defending them. I will stand on principle, win or lose, for better or for worse, for good or bad, live or die. Throw me in prison, make me a hero, it doesn't matter. Principles were all that mattered to them. Now look at our political leaders today. Look at people who will say that, for instance, they're pro-life. Okay, but they don't want to force that decision on anyone else. They wouldn't, as a senator, vote for a law that banned abortion. Or they wouldn't, as a senator, or maybe a president, consider what a Supreme Court justice's opinion might be. Now, if they had the courage of their principles, they would say, yes, hell yes, abortion is wrong. Hell yes, I will vote for that bill. Hell yes, I'm not going to back down. They wouldn't play political games. They wouldn't stick their finger in the wind and look at the polls and get their political advisors together and say, what should I do? What will play well on the street? They wouldn't do that. They'd say, this is wrong or this is right. Which is it? Where do my principles stand on this issue? Where do my principles lead me on this issue? That's what they would do. They would have no other concern. They would say, if it costs me my job, that's fine. If it makes me have something bad happen to me, that's fine. I have my principles. Then you look at people like Henry Waxman and Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Barack Obama. There's no principles with these people. Whatever will win, they'll say whatever it takes. Yes, they have principles, but they lie. They will lie to people and say, for instance, healthcare will save us money, it'll reduce the cost. Now it's pretty clear it's going to drive the cost way up. They knew they were lying when they said it. Even fighting for their principles, they can't be principled. That's what's wrong with our political system. You've got gutless politicians. You've got Republicans who don't have the courage to stand on principle because they're afraid what the media will say about them or what the Democrats will say. Well, the Democrats will accuse me of being a racist if I say this. Think Joe Barton. Just yesterday, called the $20 billion deal with BP and their $20 billion fund that is supposedly is going to go to the people of the Gulf to help them recover from the disaster of the oil spill. Now, legally, BP is liable, under U.S. law, British Petroleum is liable because it's their fault for all these costs anyway. But it's $20 billion. Joe Barton had the guts to stand on principle and say, this is a shakedown. The government should not be doing this. Of course, then other Republicans caved in on him and pressured him to apologize for making such a rash statement. If Joe Barton were a man of principle, he would have held a press conference. He would have said, I've been asked to apologize for these comments. And he would have said, However, I'm not going to apologize. I said what I meant. I meant what I said. If you don't like it, that's too bad. If it offends you, that's too bad. If you want to make political hay out of it, you want to use it as a political football, you go right ahead, you do whatever. I'm not going to back down from my beliefs. I'm not going to back down from what I said. He would stand on principle. Instead, he folded like a cheap accordion. And while he made a statement that made me respect him at first, his apology, his ideological cowardice, made me lose tremendous amount of respect for him. Our politicians, too often, even when they stand up and say something they should, in language they should, in no uncertain terms, no spin, no BS, no PR, no how will this play, none of that crap. I'm talking about a man or woman standing up on their principles and saying, by God, this is what I think about this topic. This is wrong or this is right, period. Too often, they bow to pressure later and apologize or clarify their statement. And you lose credibility. They lose credibility, obviously, with people that agreed with what they said, but they lose credibility with everyone. You know what? Everyone right now in America, nearly everyone anyway, looks at politicians as incompetent jokes. They look at them and have no respect. They do not hold them in high esteem. They do not hold them in high regard. Why? Well, because they've got a poor track record. Everybody knows that. Their integrity is pathetic. But more than anything, they look at them and see people who either have no principles or do not possess the guts to stand on principle. And they see the few that do, either A, fold up like a cheap accordion, as I said, and end up apologizing, or they are so ridiculed and ostracized by the media that they never have a chance to win any higher office. I mean, look, we all know that a man who will stand on principle, Tom Tancredo or someone like that, will never be president. Look at the act of 2008. The man I wanted to be president, the man I fully supported, was Fred Thompson. I support him for two reasons. A, he was the only politician that sounded like when he spoke in the debates and during his speeches that he'd actually read the Constitution, that he actually understood the founding principles, and that he actually would stand up for them. He also sounded like he was a genuine. What I mean by genuine was not his accent, which I love, by the way. I love his great southern accent, a great speaking voice. It wasn't that. It was genuine in terms of, you heard him, he said, here's a guy who doesn't talk BS. And I went back and I heard him in 1994, speeches he'd given in 1994. The principles from 1994 were there in 2008. They were there in 2000. Whenever you heard the man speak, the principles were there. They didn't change. We know how he did in the election. And look, I pulled my hair out arguing with other conservatives about Fred and against Huckabee and this one and that one. And it came down to this. After years of pining away for another Reagan, another politician who wasn't really a politician, who would stand up, stand on principles, and say, this is what I think, this is why I think it, like it or lump it, basically, after years of calling for that, once they heard it, it seemed like they couldn't wrap their minds around it. Are we so warped from politics that that's the way we behave now as conservatives? We actually hear somebody stand up and say what they think and say, well, this is it. We actually hear somebody with some wisdom and we shy away from it. I don't know if that can win a general election. I don't know what the media is. He sounds like, I don't know. He doesn't sound like he wants the job. What do you mean he doesn't sound like he wants the job? He sounded to me like somebody you would want to have the job because he was a man of principle. He still is. He still is. He hasn't changed. You listen to his radio show anytime. You listen to any time he talks on Fox News or anywhere else. It's the same guy. He was genuine. Even things I disagreed with him on, at least I could go back and say, yes, he's genuine. All through the years, he hasn't really changed. Fred Thompson has principles. And again, we know how disappointing his presidential run was. And it had nothing to do with having principles. It had to do with the media doing everything they could to railroad him and get him out of there because he frightened them. And it had everything to do with, well, principles not meaning as much as they used to. That's sad. That's a sad commentary on this country. That even as our political leaders become less and less and less and less principled and less willing to stand on our principles, we become less and less able to accept those with principles. It's like we're this the American voter is like this hybrid creature that calls out for principles, but sometimes rejects it when they hear it because it's too unvarnished, it's too real, it's less if we want to hear the truth, but we're afraid of it when we hear it. We want certain talk, but we don't want too much of it. I remember having a long debate with a Huckabee supporter. And I like Mike Huckabee a lot when I first heard him, when he first got in the presidential race. And I liked him less and less and less every time he opened his mouth. For several reasons. I think Mike Huckabee's a phony. Put it this way, I told the Mike Huckabee supporter, why do you support him? His answer was pretty simple. Well, I like what he says. Oh, I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, he's gonna get a constitutional amendment to ban abortion. He's going to get a constitutional amendment to protect marriage. He's going to get a constitutional amendment to do away with the IRS and the income tax and get a flat tax. I said, you know he's never going to do those things. You can't do them. You know how hard it is to get one constitutional amendment done? It's almost impossible. Now you're believing this guy's going to do three of them as president with what probably will be a hostile Congress and Senate? Oh, I like the way it sounds. You like the way it sounds. You know, again, to me, Mike Huckabee said things that he knew people wanted to hear. I don't think he had the principles, and still don't, to back up what he said. I think it was kind of that slick sales pitch. Do you want to hear this? I'll tell you what you want to hear. You look good in that dress. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. If you're ugly as hell, I'll tell you, you look good in the dress if you want to hear it. I'll tell you, I'm going to move mountains for you. I'll tell you this, I'll do pie in the sky, whatever you want, I'll tell you. That's not a man of principle. A man of principle is a man who will say, this is me. Like it or leave it, I don't care. Some people say that's cold, some people say that can be indifferent, but you know what? We need more men like that, more women like that. That's why we have to have more people who aren't in and from politics getting into the game. Running for House, running for Senate, running for governors, running for mayors, for city council, for county commission. I've said it before. Some of the most egregious offenses against our liberty are committed at city and county levels. That's the most direct influence you have. You may live right across the street or right next door. You may shop at the same store that your city councilman or your county commissioners shop at. You have all types of opportunity to engage them, bend their ears. That's where we first need to get people of principle in place. City councils, county commissions. Then we need to work on state legislatures. We can have a lot of influence on them too. Again, everyone wants to look at the big picture. Again, I'll say it. Some of the most egregious offenses and transgressions and impositions upon our liberties come from city government, county government, the mayor's office, city council, county commission, state legislatures. Those battles are more easily won than battles at the federal level. And they will be more, they will have more of a direct impact on our lives sooner. So I urge everyone if you're a person of principles, if you will not back down, if you will not take any crap from anybody, consider running for city council or county commission or the mayor's office. Consider being a mayor. Consider running for maybe a state representative or state senator's seat. You may lose, but take your principles with you. Stand on them. Do not back down. Do not let the media cow you. Don't let polls cow you. Don't let talking heads cow you. Stand up. We need many things in this country. One thing we need more than anything, outside of the blessings of God, obviously, which gives us liberty to begin with. Outside of that, my friends, more than anything, we need people who have the right principles to hold office. We need people with the right principles that will stand on their principles and take their case to the people and protect the liberties we all share and enjoy. That's what we need more than anything. That's the type of revolution we need. A revolution of principles. And remember, conservative principles will always trump liberal principles. Ours are based in reality, theirs are based in idealism. Remember that. And please consider what you can do if you stand on your principles. One man, one woman can do a lot more than they ever think. That's it for this week, my friends. Please check out the Facebook page, Chimpsey's Radio. Listen to the other shows. We've moved some shows around. Lots of great things going on. Lots of very good voices to listen to. Check out all the shows. Check out the podcast. Check out my blog, The Daily Gator. I do a podcast every day. Obviously, I do this show every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. I thank you for your patronage. Thank you for stopping by and listening to me flap my gums for a few minutes. And folks, remember, stand on principles. Because if you're left, your principles just ain't right. And go Gators. Goodbye and God bless.